They were the picture of perfection, a five-star family from sunny South Florida. But beneath their polished veneer lay whispers of obsession, control, and a plan so chilling it would shatter everything. Donna Adelson, grandmother and matriarch, stands accused of masterminding a murder-for-hire plot against her former son-in-law, a respected FSU law professor. Surrounded by her husband, daughters, and sons, she is alleged to have orchestrated a fatal hit to secure her grandchildren's future. This story unspools through wiretaps, jail calls, courtroom drama, airport arrests, and a family torn apart. It's part true crime and part psychological thriller. But most of all, it challenges everything you thought you knew about family loyalty. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Family That Smiled Too Much. Tallahassee summers are unforgiving. The air sticks to your skin like sweat-soaked linen, and the heat seems to warp not just the roads, but reality itself. It was in this heavy atmosphere, both literal and metaphorical, that one of the most chilling murder plots in recent American memory began to unravel. At the center of it all stood Donna Adelson. To the outside world, she was a woman of grace and accomplishment, a doting mother, a successful businesswoman, and a loving grandmother. A South Florida socialite who, with her husband Harvey, ran a thriving cosmetic dentistry practice that catered to the elite. But behind the professionally whitened smiles and perfectly curated family photos was a growing storm of resentment, bitterness, and quiet rage. The trouble began years earlier, in 2013, with the collapse of her daughter Wendy's marriage to Florida State University law professor Dan Markell. The divorce was bitter, but it was the custody battle that lit the match. Wendy, backed by her family in Fort Lauderdale, wanted to move her two young sons closer to home. Dan refused. He was adamant that his children remain in Tallahassee, near him. To Donna, this wasn't just a legal defeat. It was an affront, an insult that she would not forget. In emails later revealed in court, Donna expressed open contempt for Dan. She reportedly mocked his religious practices and accused him of trying to cut her daughter, and by extension, the rest of the Adelson family, out of the children's lives. She even floated the idea of offering Dan $1 million to allow the relocation. He declined. Then, just months before his murder, Dan received an anonymous email claiming that there are other ways to get what you want. On July 18, 2014, Dan Markell was shot in the head in the driveway of his home in broad daylight. He was returning from the gym, still in athletic gear, when two men in a rented Toyota Prius pulled up and gunned him down. He clung to life for 14 hours, but ultimately succumbed to his wounds. The city of Tallahassee was stunned. A respected professor had been executed on his own property, and no one knew why. But investigators had a hunch. Almost immediately, suspicion turned to the Adelsons. There was no forensic evidence tying them directly to the murder, no gunpowder residue, no eyewitnesses. But there was motive. There was money. And there was a pattern. The first real crack came 2 years later when police arrested two South Florida residents, Sigfredo Garcia and Luis Rivera, both with gang affiliations, for carrying out the hit. The case against them was built on cell phone data, rental car records, and an unnerving digital trail that placed them in Tallahassee the day of the murder. Rivera would later admit in a plea deal that they were hired to kill Markell for $100,000. But who paid? That's when the name Catherine Magbanua entered the picture. A former girlfriend of Charlie Adelson, Donna's son, Magbanua had ties to both hitmen and to the Adelson family. She allegedly acted as the go-between, the connector between the money and the murderers. In exchange for her silence, she lived comfortably, even as suspicion mounted. Meanwhile, Charlie maintained his innocence. A successful periodontist with flashy tastes, he lived the kind of lifestyle one expects from a man with privilege and confidence. But behind the scenes, investigators were gathering wiretaps, surveillance footage, and most critically, a sting operation. In 2016, the FBI launched what they called the Bump. Undercover agents approached Donna at a Miami restaurant, pretending to be friends of the hitmen and hinting at blackmail. What followed was a series of cryptic, nervous conversations between Donna and Charlie, captured on hidden microphones. One line caught on tape became central to the case. It's between us and the FBI. Still, prosecutors held back. They wanted more. In the years that followed, the Adelson family fought to maintain their image. Wendy denied any involvement, continued to work at FSU, and even gave lectures on criminal justice. Donna remained the matriarch, keeping the family tightly knit, hosting dinners, and doting on her grandchildren. But all the while, the case grew stronger. In April 2022, Charlie Adelson was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and solicitation. He pled not guilty, but the tide was turning. The evidence, long circumstantial, now felt like a tidal wave. And when prosecutors revealed hours of phone calls between Donna and Charlie, recorded after his arrest, the picture became clear. Donna wasn't just aware of what had happened. She had allegedly helped orchestrate it. The matriarch was no longer just a grieving grandmother. She was a suspect. And when Charlie went to trial in 2023, Donna's name was mentioned dozens of times. Prosecutors painted a portrait of a mother so desperate to keep her daughter happy and her family intact that she was willing to cross the line into criminal conspiracy. In jailhouse calls, she and Charlie discussed potential fallout, money transfers, and their worry over who might flip next. The final spark came in November 2023, just days after Charlie was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. Donna Adelson was arrested at Miami International Airport, attempting to board a one-way flight to Vietnam with no return plans. Authorities allege she was fleeing justice. Suddenly, the smiling grandmother in pearls was behind bars. And a question that had haunted investigators for nearly a decade could now be asked in open court. What kind of mother would order a murder? The answer would not just unravel a family, it would ignite a firestorm that still burns today. Chapter 2. Wiretaps, jail calls, and the matriarch's desperation. By the time Charlie Adelson stood trial in 2023, nearly a decade had passed since the murder of Dan Markell, yet the crime still echoed through Tallahassee like a wound that refused to close. The evidence had taken years to build. The arrests came slowly. But when the courtroom lights finally illuminated the secrets buried in wiretaps and jail calls, one voice rose louder than the rest. Donna Adelson's. It wasn't supposed to be this way. Donna had spent years keeping her family's image pristine. She coordinated travel, managed finances, and played the role of concerned mother and grandmother. But with Charlie behind bars and facing a life sentence, the protective mask slipped. In over 35 hours of recorded phone calls between Donna and Charlie following his arrest, prosecutors found what they believed was the final piece of the puzzle. Not just evidence of her involvement in the conspiracy, but a window into the psychological grip she held over the family. The calls were, on the surface, mundane. Donna asked about the dogs. She asked about the grandchildren. She worried over Charlie's mental health. But beneath the surface was a constant hum of fear, about money, about betrayal, and most of all, about what might come next. At one point, Charlie tried to reassure his mother by grading his own trial performance. "I think I got a 95, he said, with bizarre confidence. Donna didn't laugh. She didn't scold him. Instead, she whispered about finances, about who might flip, and about how to prepare for what the prosecutors were calling an ongoing conspiracy. The state listened. And they built. Behind closed doors, Donna's quiet desperation was metastasizing into calculated action. Prosecutors allege that she was orchestrating finances to protect family assets in case more indictments came down. They pointed to wire transfers, trust arrangements, and cryptic messages as signs that Donna was still pulling strings. But nothing would compare to what happened next. On November 13, 2023, just 4 days after Charlie's conviction, Donna and her husband Harvey were stopped at Miami International Airport. They had booked one-way flights to Vietnam with a layover in Dubai. Authorities found documents, cash, and luggage packed for a long stay abroad. She told officials she needed peace and clarity before eventually turning herself in. No one believed her. The arrest sent shockwaves through South Florida and Tallahassee. The matriarch of the Adelson clan, the woman who had hovered protectively over her children and grandchildren, was now in handcuffs. Prosecutors moved swiftly. They denied bond, citing flight risk, and announced that she would face charges of first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and solicitation. But the legal chess game was far from over. Donna's legal team launched a rapid offensive. They requested a change of venue, arguing that the Adelson name had become too toxic in Leon County. They cited media saturation, noting that jurors could not be impartial after years of headlines and courtroom drama. One of her attorneys even compared the case's notoriety to that of Brian Koberger, the accused Idaho student murder's suspect, to argue for fairness, but perhaps most chilling were the subtle manipulations hidden in her defense strategy. Donna's team sought to exclude references to her family's wealth, her past communications about Dan Markell, and even her reaction to Charlie's conviction. They knew that portraying her as a grieving mother, not a calculating mastermind, was their only shot. Yet the evidence was relentless. Investigators had pieced together a web of phone records, financial transactions, and secret recordings. In one taped conversation, Charlie refers to the family's plan as something that sounded better in theory. In another, Donna warns him to stay quiet, saying too much would end everything. And behind every word was the shadow of motive. The prosecution painted a picture not of a woman pushed to the edge, but of someone who had orchestrated a slow-burning, calculated plan to eliminate a threat to her family's control. They claimed Donna couldn't bear the thought of her daughter being tied to Dan forever, that she feared losing access to her grandchildren, that she believed money and murder could solve anything. They pointed to emails Donna wrote in the years leading up to the killing. In one, she bitterly described Dan as a foolish man who refused to see the damage he was doing. In another, she joked darkly about using a hitman being cheaper than a lawyer. Donna would later say she was being sarcastic. Prosecutors said it was premeditation disguised as humor. But it wasn't just the emails or the money or the arrests. It was the psychological profile that disturbed even seasoned investigators. Donna wasn't a criminal in the traditional sense. She was something more insidious, someone who used love as a weapon, someone who blurred the lines between protection and control so thoroughly that even her own children didn't see it coming. As Charlie sat behind bars, awaiting sentencing, Donna was now preparing for her own trial. The once proud matriarch was in jail scrubs, her jewelry stripped, her hair tied back. No more curated photos, no more influence. Just a woman facing life in prison for allegedly orchestrating the murder of her former son-in-law. But Donna wasn't done fighting. Her lawyers claimed she was being unfairly targeted, that her words were taken out of context, that the real mastermind was someone else. Maybe Charlie, maybe the hitmen, maybe no one at all. Still, the state's case kept growing stronger. Witness lists swelled. Jail calls leaked. The family's emails were dissected line by line. And all the while, the central question burned brighter. Was Donna Adelson truly desperate to protect her family, or was she the architect of its destruction? Chapter 3. Betrayal, Trial, and the Fall of a Dynasty. By mid-2025, the Adelson name, once synonymous with status, success, and South Florida prestige, had become a symbol of betrayal and rot. Donna Adelson, the polished matriarch who once held her family together through sheer force of will, was now alone in a jail cell, awaiting a trial that threatened to dismantle what little remained of her legacy. But she was not going quietly. Her legal team had thrown every strategy at the wall. Change of venue, motions to suppress evidence, claims of media bias. But the state was prepared. They had built a fortress of facts, one that Donna would now have to confront, brick by brick, under the harsh lights of a Florida courtroom. The witness list told a story all on its own. 60 names. Some expected. Law enforcement officers, forensic analysts, wiretap experts. But others struck deep. Donna's son, Charlie, already serving life. Her daughter, Wendy, long thought to be in the emotional periphery of the case, her other son Rob, even former family friends and staff from the Adelson Dental Practice. The prosecution's strategy was surgical: expose the tight-knit family's internal dynamics, unravel Donna's control, and show the jury that this wasn't a desperate grandmother reacting to a crisis. It was a woman who had coldly, methodically orchestrated a murder. Then came the bombshell. Newly uncovered jailhouse wiretaps revealed a layer of betrayal that stunned even seasoned court watchers. In a conversation between Donna and her husband Harvey, prosecutors alleged that Donna was preparing to cut Wendy, her own daughter, out of family financial control. Documents suggested Donna had rewritten trust directives and reorganized holdings under shell accounts just days after Charlie's conviction. Why? Prosecutors argued it was about power. Donna's desire to maintain control had turned inward. With Charlie imprisoned and Wendy keeping her distance, Donna appeared to be consolidating everything she could. Money, influence, legacy. Even in the face of collapse, she was managing the fallout like a CEO in a crumbling empire. This theory shifted the case's emotional center. What began as a murder-for-hire conspiracy now revealed a deeper truth. This was never about just custody or revenge. It was about domination. Donna wasn't trying to protect her family. She was trying to own it. As the trial neared, motions flew in like shrapnel. The defense claimed Donna's age, she was now in her mid-70s, should exempt her from harsh punishment. They painted her as frail, misguided, emotionally shattered. A woman driven not by malice, but by maternal desperation. The prosecution didn't flinch. They reminded the jury of Donna's own words, her dark jokes about hitmen being cheaper than lawyers, her dismissive tone toward Dan Markell's rights as a father, her calmness in jail recordings as she discussed strategy with Charlie, as if it were a corporate board meeting. Then came the most powerful testimony yet. Luis Rivera, one of the convicted hitmen, took the stand. He described how he and Sigfredo Garcia stalked Dan for days. He recounted, in chilling detail, how they cornered him in his driveway and pulled the trigger. But the most damning moment came when he revealed why he did it. It was about the kids. They told us the guy was keeping their family apart, that he deserved it. A single phrase hung in the air. They told us. Donna's face remained unreadable. No tears, no shaking, just a slight frown, as if annoyed that it had come to this. When Charlie was brought in as a potential witness, the courtroom went silent. Would a son betray his mother to save himself further punishment? Would he protect her, even now? He declined to testify. But his jail calls spoke for him. In recordings played aloud, Charlie joked, speculated, and panicked. He hinted at past conversations. He laughed at the FBI's sting operation. At one point, he muttered, "We should have just taken the deal." The jury didn't need more. In closing arguments, the prosecution reframed the entire case. "This is not a crime of passion," the lead prosecutor said. "This is a strategic execution carried out by a family who believed their money and influence could rewrite reality." The defense clung to sympathy. They reminded the jury that Donna had no criminal record, that she was a mother and grandmother, that she had never pulled a trigger. But it wasn't enough. As the verdict was read, Donna sat stone-faced. Guilty on all counts, first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and solicitation. The courtroom held its breath. There were no sobs, no outbursts, just the echo of finality. The judge, visibly shaken by the enormity of the crime, denied all appeals for leniency. Donna Adelson was sentenced to life in prison, without the possibility of parole. She was escorted from the courtroom in silence, her once immaculate suit replaced with a prison uniform. And so, the Adelson dynasty crumbled. Not with an explosion, but a slow, methodical implosion of ego, entitlement, and delusion. Outside the courthouse, friends of Dan Markell embraced quietly. Justice had been slow, imperfect, and agonizing. But it had arrived. Back in South Florida, the Adelson dental office had long been shuttered. The luxury cars, the lavish vacations, the charity fundraisers, all gone. What remained was a cautionary tale etched into the annals of American crime. A tale of how power can blind, how love can curdle into violence, and how even the most picture-perfect families can hide something unspeakable behind every smile. So now we leave you with this question. Was Donna Adelson a protective mother pushed too far? Or the cold-blooded architect of a modern American tragedy? Only one truth remains. Even the brightest smiles can hide the darkest secrets.